This is from John 13:31 through 35 in the NRSV. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify in him in himself and will glorify him at once."
The little church where I am, and the own, I with you, you only a little longer, you will look for me, and as I go to Jews, so long that now I said to you there, I'm going, you cannot come.
I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another.
How am I supposed to read that?
You're the yellow one. Mm-hmm.
By this, everyone will know that you are my
disciples.
If you have love
for one
another.
Okay, I think you know this one. The words are up there, just in case. I know they're a little small, but I think this one's a familiar one. All right.
I'm going to be reading Acts 11:1 through 18, NRSV, Peter's report to the church at Jerusalem. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had fallen upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Welcome, Reverend Paul Forey.
Good morning, Jubilee.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be here with you again. Always enjoy my time with you. In the year and a half that I've worked for Adriel, I've preached at over a dozen Mennonite churches. And I have to tell you, far and away, I enjoy my time here with you folks most of all. The name of your congregation is Jubilee, and you folks embody that name. When I arrive, everyone's got a smile. People are welcoming me. You just enjoy being here. Great upbeat music, fun to sing, great readers, calisthenics going on during the service. You know, it's just always a wonderful time here. So I want to thank you for welcoming me into your midst again. When I was a child and the family was getting ready for a big road trip, my dad would take me out that morning. We would head down to the local gas station and pick up a stack of those fold-out road maps. Do you remember those maps? Right up in the upper corner would be a logo from the gas station where you bought it, and there was just no possible way to fold it back up the way it originally was. Do any of you still have any of those maps in your car, along with your cassette tapes, I'm sure, right? And no worries, I'm old enough to remember having an 8-track player in a car. By the time I was old enough and driving, though, a AAA membership meant you could go down to the local office and get yourself a triptych, right? They would give you this huge stack of stuff. There'd be maps with your route highlighted. There'd be another sheet with turn-by-turn instructions and special stickers on the map to show you where there was road construction and so forth. Today, though, we don't need any of that because we have these things. Phones. Some of you may even have a navigation system right in your vehicle. Turn-by-turn instructions, little arrow showing you where to go. In my case, it even makes my watch vibrate to tell me I'm coming up to a turn. So even if I'm in the middle of nowhere, my phone assures me that I'm somewhere. These things aren't perfect, though, right? When I first, my wife and I first moved to West Liberty from Florida so I could pastor a church here, I was on my way to a home visit and my phone took me to the edge of a cornfield and said I'd arrived. Actually, I was close. My destination was just on the other side of the cornfield, but my phone couldn't help me get over there. On my way to another home visit, my phone took me to a cemetery and said I'd arrived. And I thought, man, I am late for this visit. Taken as a whole, the book of Acts reads like a triptych of first century Christianity. The book is a kind of roadmap describing how our faith, Christianity, grew from a relatively insignificant Jewish sect to a fierce religious movement that overtook the Mediterranean world. Those of you who have a nice, big, heavy study Bible, you've probably got maps in the back, and those maps will show you how Christianity spread around the Mediterranean world, particularly through the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. But much more than a geographical narrative, the book of Acts is a spiritual roadmap describing and outlining the direction that God was taking the early church. And wonderful stories, such as our story this morning from Acts 11, help us to understand that the direction God was moving the church in caused a great deal of controversy. Now, a few hundred years before Peter lived, Alexander the Great's unprecedented string of military victories opened the way for his army to travel from Asia Minor through Persia and into what is today Afghanistan. Perhaps you've heard the legend. The legend says that one day his generals came to him and said, "We don't know where to go next. We have marched off the map." Bold and adventurous people. And what I want to say this morning is also bold and adventurous churches face situations where there is no precedent to guide us. In such times, we are faced with a momentous decision. Do we turn around and return to the security of what we already know? Or do we forge ahead, march right off the map of known experience? Our story from Acts 11 is a story about the early church facing precisely that decision. At the start of Acts 11, Peter is called before a church council in Jerusalem to account for his actions. In their minds, Peter has done the unthinkable. He's gone into a town named Joppa and ate a meal with Cornelius, who was not a Jew, and worse, was a Roman centurion. "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" they challenged Peter. Now, Rose did a great job reading this passage for us, but I want to be sure that you hear the power of their accusation. "Why did you do this?" Peter's hauled before the church council. The other apostles thought Peter had really just gone completely off the map, and they wanted to reroute him back to the Jewish people, back from the Gentiles to the Jewish people. So do you see where the other apostles merely saw the narrow route that they believed only included the way and the law of the Jewish people as recorded in the Hebrew scriptures, Peter told them that God had shown him a much larger map that included the new road God was building to include non-Jews in the Christian movement. Peter told them about a dream that he had. And by the way, all of this takes place in Acts 10, so you can read firsthand what happened to Peter there. Now, briefly, let me remind you of this dream. So in that dream, a large sheet is lowered from heaven, and Peter and there's all sorts of animals on this sheet. Note, those animals are all animals that the Hebrew scriptures, the law, specifically forbids the Jewish people from eating. And Peter hears in this dream, hears God's voice, "Go ahead and eat." Peter responds essentially, "No way, Lord, I'm not going to do that. Doing so would violate your own laws." And God says, "Look, what I have made clean, you must not call profane." God's command to Peter was essentially to march off the long-held maps that Peter and his people, Israel, had walked for over 1,000 years by following God's commandments to the letter. More broadly, remember, the context here is that God has already told Peter to go to Joppa and meet with Cornelius, and he doesn't want to do it. He's pulling a Jonah here. "I'm not going to go do that." So this dream is all about getting Peter to go ahead and do this. So God was forging a new route that would bring Jews and non-Jews together in the Christian family. At the same time, a man named Cornelius had also received a vision from God in a dream that told him to welcome Peter into his home, an act unthinkable for a Roman centurion. That vision altered the map of his life as well, as God's Spirit sent a Jew and a Gentile off their prescribed life routes to meet one another on the new path that God was showing the church. No longer would Jew and Gentile go along separate routes. They would serve the same God as part of the same church. Now, here again, listen again to Peter's closing words. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit this time around. I remembered the Jesus' words. He had said to us, John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, Peter tells the church council, if God gave these Gentiles the same gift of salvation that God gave us when we chose to believe in Christ, then you know what? Who on earth am I? Who am I that I could hinder God? GPS directions can be a wonderful tool, but they can also lead to a kind of tunnel vision that causes drivers to focus so much on the route outlined in the little screen here that we miss the larger picture of what's around us. In 2011, three ladies were in a rental vehicle heading to a corporate convention in Washington State, and they followed their GPS instructions to the letter, right down a boat ramp and into a lake. Neither of the two passengers ever told the driver to stop. They just did what they were told. A lot of Christians view instructions and our long-held traditions in precisely the same way. We focus only on what we believe to be the one and only correct path, and we run the risk of missing the larger picture of God's activity in the world. We might be so stuck to our own interpretations of Scripture that we fail to hear the Holy Spirit speaking in our midst. Or we might be so sure that our long-standing traditions are the only correct methods for conducting our ministries that when someone dares to suggest trying something new, we silence that person by saying, that's not the way we've always done that. I'll never forget the nuclear fallout that followed in one congregation I served when one newly appointed leader dared to put the Christmas tree on this side of the sanctuary rather than on that side where it had been for as long as anybody still living could remember. We get so tied to our traditions that we will silence anyone suggesting something new. Look, God invited Peter to unfold a much larger map that reveals a world of possibilities for diverse people united together around the path of God's grace in the world. And friends, I am here with you this morning to tell you that I believe God has invited you to do the same. Let me explain. Back in March, I was representing Adriel at the Ohio Conference Mennonite Church USA meeting. It was announced that three congregations were formally dissolving their union with the Ohio Conference, but only one of those churches bothered to send a representative to communicate that message. That was you folks. So I was so impressed, sitting there in my seat in the back of the room, stealing cookies off the table, when Carla got up and demonstrated incredible courage. And I hope you folks have all found creative ways to thank her for doing that. She stood up and read a letter which states in part, Our initial desire to seek a change in affiliation grew out of our discussions and acceptance of an inclusive welcome statement where LGBTQ persons will be accepted into full participation in the activities and life of our church at Jubilee. Friends, can you hear Peter's words and experience in your own words? Can you see that God has called your congregation to march right off the map in order to discover new routes of inclusion and grace and hospitality that God prepares for you? I'll tell you what I hear. I hear the message underneath your words. This is what we hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and who are we that we can hinder God? In the year and a half I've worked with Adriel, you folks have invited me to be share and worship with you three times. This will be my final time here with you. Through much prayer and discernment, my wife and I have decided that I should accept a call to serve as pastor of St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Alexandria, Kentucky. So 10 years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to us and said something that to me was unthinkable. Move to rural Ohio. Now the Holy Spirit is speaking something else that is unthinkable. Move to Kentucky? So we're going to follow God where God leads us. I want to thank you for the privilege of sharing in worship with you three times over the last year and a half. But more than that, I am here this morning to affirm your faith, your courage, and your willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit and to follow where the Spirit leads you, even and especially when that journey is risky and will take you into an unknown future. That is precisely the kind of faith that led Abraham and Sarah to follow God into a new land. That is precisely the kind of faith that led Jesus to follow God into a new way of peace, justice, and compassion. And that is precisely the kind of faith that led Peter to follow God into a new reality and world for the church that lives in Christ's name. So, my friends, may God continue to speak powerfully in and through your congregation. And may God uphold you as you venture into the new roots where God will lead you. Bless you. Thanks. Amen.